to go right to the matter. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets. You come to them in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." How opportune our Lord was and is to warn us about these things. In every single age, this has been verified, but especially today. If we look at the early church after the persecution of the Roman emperors, we have right off a man by the name of Arius. Arius was a very educated person, very articulate, but he was preaching that Jesus was not true God. At the Council of Nicaea, under Pope St. Sylvester, the bishops gathered at Nicaea, and Arius was condemned as a heretic. Indeed, Jesus Christ is true God and true man, one person with two natures. And in fact, after we finish our sermon, go back to the altar, we say the Nicene Creed that came from the year 325. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in one Lord Jesus Christ. And we say, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father. When we get to the 4th or 5th century, after Arius was a man by the name of Nestorius, once again, very articulate person, but he erred by saying that Jesus was two different people. There was this man, Jesus, whom God descended into him, and he was condemned at the Council of Ephesus in 431. In fact, the same Pope who presided over that Council of Ephesus was the same Pope who sent St. Patrick to Ireland to convert the Irish people who were steeped in Druidism to convert them to the true faith. We have, like I say, throughout all the centuries, and God knew this, our Lord knew this, and that's why he was foretelling these things are to happen. Be very careful. Outwardly, someone might look very, very convincing, very devout, pious, and holy, but God has revealed to us the truths through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and Christ founded one church, that's the Catholic Church. We have in the 1500s, 1517, a fallen away priest, Martin Luther. What did he do? He was preaching about that God is so good and our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Savior. If we just, all we do is believe in him, we don't have to do any good works, we don't have to keep the commandments, but believe in Jesus and you're saved. You know how unfortunately, that was accepted by so many people. Our fallen human nature being what it is, we're inclined to sin because we have that weakness from original sin. I don't have to keep the commandments. I can commit sin as long as I believe in Jesus, I'm saved. That watered down Christianity, which you can't even call Christianity, unfortunately spread throughout Germany and also throughout Europe. But Jesus tells us in this gospel that we read today is a very good example of this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father. In another place, Jesus says, if you want to enter life, you want to go to heaven, keep the commandments. And St. Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. It's not a done deal, it's not an in the bag thing. But it's really sad because Martin Luther, 1517, was that 400 something years ago, and those same errors are being repeated today. People ask, are you saved? Are you saved? No, I'm not saved. I'll be saved when I get to heaven. But I'm working out my salvation. It's not a done deal. But how many people have been deceived by these wolves in sheep's clothing? We have also today, especially, so much that has invaded the church. So many crazy, crazy ideas, doctrines. It's exactly what St. Paul said. He was exhorting Timothy to preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove and treat, rebuke with all patience and doctrine. For there will come a time in which men will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves doctrines according to their own lusts and desires. I think it was sometime last year, somebody sent me an email. This is somebody who's not even from Nebraska, not even from Iowa. And, you know, I don't have the time to be surfing the internet. I don't got time for any of that. So he emailed me saying that there's a priest at Creighton. He's 80-something years old, and he's leaving the priesthood. Why? He states in his public letter that he might become one with the cosmos, one with the universe. You start reading what they're saying. This poor, poor priest who was badly ordained and went through the old school, he really lost his faith. His ideas they would come out with was just totally whack, totally off the wall. This poor, poor man. He was a professor. He taught at Creighton. But one thing I would like to just point out among the many things we could, just a warning, is this. We live in very confusing times, very difficult times, especially in the church. Very confusing people try to sort out things, but know this. God is revealed through Jesus Christ, the true religion. Christ has founded the true church, the Catholic Church. We can prove that historically. And the church has never deviated in teaching, constantly teaching what Christ has taught. And among the things that Christ taught, one thing that stands out in bold relief is this, the first commandment. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. In the 1960s, there was a council, Second Vatican Council, Vatican II, and they began to change those things. In the Declaration Aetate Nostra, 1965, now recognition was being given to the Hindus. They're like, what? The Hindus? Well, they worship many gods. No, we're told now the Hindus are making a loving, trusting flight toward God. Well, how can it be that we worship the true God? It was also mentioned Buddhists can attain supreme enlightenment. Hello? Buddhists don't even worship a God. They don't believe in God. It's a matter of these practices of meditation, these things like that nature. It was said in Vatican II, the church looks with esteem upon the Muslims. What? Mohammed denied the Trinity. One God, three persons. Mohammed denied the divinity of Christ. Mohammed taught in his writing the Quran, convert by the sword. I know I've mentioned to you before, Sundays for me, after my Mass is here and I have to travel for a third Mass, Sundays for me are really difficult to stay awake. Sunday afternoon, it's hot. I've driven these roads in Nebraska here since 1987. I can do it in my sleep. So I try to stay awake, and I was listening to this dialogue between this imam, this head of this mosque, and this one woman who was a converted. She converted from Islam to Christianity. Her name is Gabrielle. This is on the Sean Hannity show. And she was just trying to tell everybody in the audience that Islam is not a religion of peace, that is to convert by the sword. And it's Imam saying, oh, you're misrepresenting Islam. This is horrible. And I can refute you on all these points. And she said, well, let's talk about it. And she starts quoting one quote after another after another after another from the Quran. And he's saying, well, you're misinterpreting that. She said, Imam, I'm not misinterpreting. I'm reading word for word. I can understand what this means. You can understand. Our audience can understand what it means. What does this verse mean? He tried not to go point by point. What we see in the world today with regard to, unfortunately, the rise of Islam, these terrorist attacks, this is nothing new. I mean, even in the time of St. Anthony of Padua, St. Anthony of Padua lived in the 13th century, the 1200s. St. Anthony of Padua saw these Franciscans beheaded who went to Morocco to preach the gospel. So, I mean, and the people said about the ministry for a long time. Mohammed rose about the year 600 AD. He took some things from the Old Testament, some things from the New Testament, and he made up his own religion about the angel Gabriel telling him these things, etc. But there's no miracles, there's nothing to prove what he says. But the point to be made is this. How is it that Vatican II can say with esteem the church looks upon the Muslims? That is not true at all. The Catholic Church has always taught her mission from Christ. Go teach all nations, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. That is the mission of the church. And it's strictly forbidden by the first commandment to worship with especially other religions, not just not only other churches that were founded by men, but other religions. Pope Pius XI spoke of this in Mortali Animos, and he said it is tantamount to apostasy to fall away from the faith to promote ecumenism. The erroneous belief that all religions are more or less good and praiseworthy, we all need to get together and all share the truth, we're all on the same path going to heaven. That's erroneous. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Are there people out there who are wandering in darkness? And we desire to enlighten them, to bring them to a knowledge of Christ and to the true religion and the true church. But that's the sad thing in our times today, is there are people in the name of Catholicism preaching a different doctrine, a different religion. And it's very, very simple. The first commandment. When we look at the catechism, we look at the teachings of the church, we look at canon law, we see how consistent the church has taught these things. It's a sin against faith to worship with other religions, other churches. It's a sin against faith. But now, since Vatican II, that's all changed. So we live in difficult times, confusing times, but you know, it's not like we can't sort these things out if we pray and study. God gave us a mind. We have to look at things the way they are. And this is the situation we find ourselves in. How do we explain this? I mean, how do we explain what's happened in the church? If you look up the Epistle of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, second Epistle of St. Paul, St. Paul says, the day of the Lord will not come, the second coming of Christ, unless the apostasy comes first and the man of sin is revealed, who will sit in the temple of God and give himself up as if he were God. And our Lord himself in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 24, warns about the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. He said the devil will try to deceive even the elect. And he also goes on to say, but he who shall persevere to the end, he shall be saved. And that's what we need to do. Persevere to the end. Persevere in the true faith. And we're not by ourselves. We have some 260 popes who consistently taught the Catholic faith. We have 20 ecumenical councils that consistently taught the faith. We have saints and doctors of the church, and theologians, the great St. Thomas Aquinas, the great St. Alphonsus Liguori. We hold that same faith that they have held. And let us lastly remember this. If we want to go to heaven, and we all do, that's why we're here. It's not enough just to say the word, Lord. We must do the will of our Father in heaven. And what's the will of our Father in heaven? That we not just come to Mass on Sundays, but we live as true followers of Christ. Our Catholic faith is not just something we do on Sunday for an hour. It's something we incorporate into our daily lives. We keep God's commandments. We follow Christ after his example, especially the example of charity. We pray our prayers every day. We fervently receive the sacraments. And if we do so and persevere to the end,